Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
You know, what we got here is the pot calling the kettle black. You know, we're talking about drama kings and drama queens. And the ones that's talking about it is standing back there doing the drama on his own. And he needs to just be quiet.
I'd like to just call for the people who I consider drama kings and queens to just stay out of the city business. And let city handle business and, you know, keep your bullshit at your house. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, sir.
So, I didn't watch. I didn't watch the whole meeting last night. I don't typically watch the meetings as they're happening anymore. I used to, and I discovered that it was not a really productive way to do things because it takes so much time to be watching them and cutting the audio and trying to make all that work at the same time. What I usually do is I record the meeting. And then I watch it the next day, and then I cut the clips, and I get back to you. That's why I'm usually on the second day after the meeting is when I report to you, or sometimes thereafter. But I figured with all of this stuff that was going to be going on last night, I ought to at least pay attention a little bit to the City of Milton City Council meeting, the agenda workshop, where they were going to have a little bit of an autopsy about the failed bid to hire Scott Collins as a city manager. Now, part of the reason that I wanted to watch some of this drama is just so I could have the audio clips for you to tell you the tone. I did not see it all, so I cannot tell you everything that was said. What I can tell you is what I learned in the hour-long conversation that I had with Scott Collins yesterday. And I learned a lot. First thing that I learned in talking with him yesterday, and by the way, let me tell you this. I had had so many conversations with different people about this. I had talked with Don Molinaro, who's city clerk for Milton. I talked with Alex Andrade about this. You know, I talk with a lot of people, okay? And I still didn't understand. I had read all the emails. I had seen all the everything that had been released. And there was a lot. Like, there was a lot of drama. More drama than it seemed like there should be, okay? And it didn't make sense. Like, I had read everything, and I mean, there's a lot, okay? And I had read everything. I thought, this doesn't make sense. So I just wanted to talk to Scott to see if I could connect the dots. And I think I've connected the dots. Like, I think I actually know what happened. And you want to know something? This is both sad and terrible and good all at the same time. I really think, okay, and I may be wrong, but I really think there's no one person or anybody really to blame. There's a maybe one person to blame, but what I really think happened is just massive miscommunication that just snowballed in an environment where nobody trusts anybody and everybody thinks everybody else is wicked and evil and horrible and not to do nefarious things. There is a toxic environment around the City of Milton government, and everybody thinks that everybody else is wicked and terrible and evil. And when you start from that premise, it's very hard to make anything work well. Very hard. Okay? And I really think that's what happened here. So I'll tell you some things that I learned. Scott Collins doesn't have any problem with anybody here. And this is a really good guy. This is a really smart guy. It is really a loss for us that we're not hiring him, okay? And but he doesn't have a problem with Alex Andrade. He said he was very polite and straightforward, no issue. Doesn't have a problem with Mike Cusack, the city council member who had been designated as the liaison to negotiate the contract with him with Alex Andrade. No problem with Mike. Not at all. You know, no problem. Likes Don Molinaro, the city clerk. Likes Heather Lindsay. You know, doesn't really know Randy. Randy didn't come up very much, but Randy's a retiring one. Okay. No problem with the public. you know, there's nobody in particular that he had any issue with. And even though he had started getting phone calls 15 minutes after his Zoom interview 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, like, because we put the phone number and information out on the resumes, that should have been redacted. And in the future, here's my number one recommendation. Please don't put these folks' phone numbers and emails out on their application. That's a bad choice. Don't do that in the future. That's step one. But he has never, so in his mind, there wasn't really anybody out to do awful. But I will tell you, and by the way, after his in-person interview, he started getting phone calls within 45 minutes after that. And it was people trying to play politics a little bit, members of the public, okay, trying to find out where he was on certain things and maybe sort of halfway get him to commit to being on their side or somebody else's side. And he said, that's fine. You know, no big deal. Not a big problem. I just didn't commit to anything because I didn't think that was my role. And it wasn't my role. My role is to be there as a city manager for everybody, for the entire city council, right? Okay, so, okay, fine. But here's where the problems began. The city council voted 8-0 to pick him, and then they voted 8-0 to authorize Mike Cusack to go along with the negotiations that were going to be conducted by Alex Andrade. That was the vote they took. Was Alex was the negotiator, the city attorney, and Mike was supposed to be the liaison to be involved in all of this. The problem is, as I read it, Alex understood his role to be the primary negotiator, and Mike thought his role was to be the primary negotiator. And once you start with those incompatible premises, you start to see where some of the problems came from. Because Scott Collins told me that he got a call from Mike, or I should say they talked, because Mike claims that Scott called him. I don't know which is true. I didn't ask that detail. But they were talking within a day, Wednesday after the Tuesday meeting, and Scott says that Mike, you know, basically made him an offer. The salary range was 120 to 140. And, you know, Alex and Mike had conversations back and forth about this. And I will tell you that the timeline on this, I think Scott is right because Scott has shown himself to be very reliable. But matching it up with the emails and what everybody else has said is a little bit difficult. So I'm not sure what the truth of it is. But I'll tell you what Scott told me and what he told me makes sense. So that's why I'm kind of believing it. Basically, Mike says to Scott that Alex and he, you know, Cusack says to Collins that Andrade and Cusack had a conversation about contract terms and that Alex wanted to offer $128,000 and Mike thought he was worth more than that and wanted to offer him $135,000. So we're going to go with $135,000. So he made a very early offer to Scott Collins of $135,000. Not a problem. The range was $120,000 to $140,000. In and of itself, no big deal. Scott told me he'd be willing to work for $120,000. He didn't need the money. That wasn't the issue. That was never the issue. And, you know, he actually preferred not to take the high end of the salary range when others might be low in the city because he wanted to be a leader by example and, you know, not take too much and be seen as the guy who, you know, was ripping the city off from the beginning. He wanted to create some credibility coming in. So he's like, man, $120,000 would have been fine with me. No worries. It wasn't about the money. It never was about the money. So then Alex sends Scott an email with a couple of detailed questions that are not that important. And then he follows up with Mike and they chat. And then they talk about whether it should be $128,000 or $130,000 is the offer. And so Alex writes a contract for $130,000 and sends it to Scott. So Scott's thinking it's $135,000. And then he gets a letter from Alex saying it's $130,000. And now he's wondering, well, what is the number? And not that it matters, but who's negotiating with me? Because I thought it was this guy and now it's this other guy. And that's confusing. And there were some other things in there. There were some confusions in the contract that really don't matter all that much for our conversation today, but there are things that need to be cleaned up. It's not a big deal. He didn't get any harassing calls from anybody. He did get calls from members of the public, including members of the Pitchfork Posse, but they were all nice to him. I mean, that wasn't an issue. Like, that theory that that's an issue. Dozens of calls between the meetings and then after the meeting. I mean, lots and lots of calls. And in the end, He heard from a friend somewhere along the line in Birmingham, unrelated, like how this happened, I'm still not sure, he's not sure, that there was somebody was trying to work to make this all fail so that some other candidate could get in, was the sort of the story that he heard. And it seemed like that combined with the confusion over who was negotiating and what the terms were and some of the discrepancies in how the contract was written, which the contract was just copied over from an old contract from a previous city manager, so that's not design. And he basically looked at all of the drama around this and all of the, you know, even the like kind of bad date that he saw from the city council, the dysfunction in the city council. And I mean, he was willing to work with it. No problem. But, you know, all of that combined with one simple fact, which was he was going to have to move so many hours away. He told me several times, if I was just going across the street to work somewhere, I would have taken the job easy. The real issue is that because of my perception that there was a pretty good chance that there was something to this rumor that people were out to sabotage his city managership, that he did not want to move. He's got three children, nieces, nephews that he kind of parents. There's a long story there, but it doesn't really matter for your purposes. Two adult grown kids and then these three other teenagers. He didn't want to uproot them and move his family to a place where it seemed like, A, there was an effort to sabotage him. Maybe that would mean he'd have to move again in 6 months to 9 months or something like that if it couldn't be made to work out here. And also, B, it just didn't seem like the city of Milton was really committed to making things better. And he wanted to make things better. He had a lot of ideas for how to do that. But it seemed like when he took over at Fairview, one of the things he told me is it was a hot mess, but they all recognized it needed to be fixed and they were willing to work together to make it happen. That was not something he perceived among the different elements, the two or three, as he'd call them, anthills that are all fighting with each other all the time at the city of Milton. And again, not that he has a problem with anybody, and he likes Milton. He loves Milton. This is a great opportunity. He wishes he could have taken the job. But just kind of put all that together, and he said, I couldn't make the choice that would wind up kind of being a risk to my family and our peace and stability and happiness. And so, I have to buy out. He hopes the best for Milton. He hopes to find the right person, of course, but that's the story. Now, the only issue, if you're going to do an autopsy of this, as I see it, the only real issue, it's not about this. Oh, my God. The conversation between Jeff Snow and James Calkins, of all people, and Scott Collins after the meeting, not an issue. It was a nothing burger. Anybody who says otherwise doesn't know what they're talking about, because I talked to the guy and he's like, yeah, that was, I mean, just nothing to it. It was just not what it's been reported or what people are saying. Okay. The only issue was Mike authorized to negotiate or was Alex authorized to negotiate? The timeline, why did Mike offer 135 and then subsequently tell Alex to offer 130? You know, some of that stuff still, I think, needs to be worked out. But going forward, the only issue is just be clear about who's doing the negotiating, be clear about who's got the authority, and then just try to work together a little bit. I think this is all could have been avoided. Which is a tragedy because it's a really good guy. And now we're without him. 523 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. If you're in the mood for a house, buying a house, selling a house, just want some advice, or just want to ask the question, you know, hey, I've got some questions, but I don't know if I want to bother Christina Leavenworth by giving her a call. She says, I heard her say it on Pep Talk the other day, it's not a bother. I love meeting people. If we work out a deal, great. If, you know, I don't work out a deal with you for 2 years, great. If you refer a friend, great. It doesn't matter. I just like to meet people and talk with them about real estate. I'm passionate about it. It doesn't bother me. Never worry that you're going to be wasting my time because you're not sure yet whether you want to sell or buy. And that's from her mouth. That's what she said. So give her a call. Get her input. She is a genuine expert. She's great at her job. She's kind of a nerd to be passionate about it. And she says that. And that's a good thing because that's what you want in somebody from whom you contract professional services. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Do you struggle with occasional nerve aches in your hands or feet? Try Nervive Nerve Relief from the world's number one nerve care company. Nervive tablets contain alpha-lipoic acid to relieve nerve aches, weakness, and discomfort, plus B-complex vitamins to support healthy nerve function as you age. Live life with less nerve discomfort with Nervive Nerve Relief. Learn more at NerviveHealth.com. And try Nervive Pain Relieving Cream to block nerve pain signals at the source. Use as directed.
When I can't sleep, my mind just races. I think about work, the kids, but I don't think about taking melatonin because I'm afraid I'll feel groggy in the morning.
ZzzQuil Pure Z's Gummies has an optimal dose of melatonin for no next day grogginess, so you can fall asleep naturally and wake up feeling refreshed. ZzzQuil Pure Z's Gummies for better sleep like never before. And try Pure Z Sleep plus next day energy with melatonin plus extended release B vitamins.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
A place to stay informed about what's happening locally and find a deep sense of belonging and community. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Treat yourself!
On the block, the crime was looking up the truth.
Good morning, 526 here on News Radio 92.3. Just one quick clarification in the whole TikTok of how all this stuff went down in Milton. Mike Cusack did not tell Alex Andrade to offer 130, told him to offer 128, and then he offered 130 because of an issue with not having to pay him a stipend for moving. It's a detail, it doesn't really matter all that much in the end, I think, but it's still, I mean, I did get it wrong, so appreciate the correction. 526 News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David, now, David, let me ask you
before we
get into your headlines. You heard me doing this whole explanation of how things happen, what happened. Do you now feel like you understand what happened and why it all went wrong?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. All right, good. Because I know what I felt in talking to Scott Collins yesterday is I felt like I get it now. I feel like I can explain everything I've seen, and it's sad, but I feel like I see why.
It all makes a little bit more sense, but I don't know. It's still the old Army expression still holds true. Clear as mud.
Yeah,
you know.
Gotcha.
The Democrat-led Senate Judiciary Committee has advanced a Supreme Court ethics bill. The bill would set up a code of conduct, tighten financial disclosures, and strengthen recusal requirements for justices. Democrats argue the bill would restore confidence in the Supreme Court. Republicans say it's unconstitutional. An FBI report detailing allegations that a Ukrainian energy executive paid millions in bribes to President Biden and his son Hunter has now been made public. Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa released that report yesterday. It details an FBI source's conversations with executives from a Ukrainian energy firm that hired Biden as a director, Hunter Biden as a director in 2014. The president, of course, has denied any wrongdoing. And NFL owners have now approved the $6 billion sale of the Washington Commanders. They voted on that yesterday during a special session. The owners met in Minneapolis. The team was sold from Dan Snyder to a group led by businessman Josh Harris and NBA great Magic Johnson.
All right. Thanks so much, David. 437-1620. By the way, I did not fulfill at least one thing I kind of hinted at in explaining all the Milton stuff. And that is, I said, I don't think anybody's really to blame. It's possible there's one person to blame, in my opinion. And that is my opinion based on what I know. I think I don't blame at the moment City Councilman Mike Cusack. But if there's anybody who screwed this up, if there is somebody to blame, I think it's probably going to wind up being him. And here's the one thing that I would say works against him is he wasn't authorized by the city council to negotiate, but apparently he thought he was. But if he really thought that he was, and Scott Collins thought he was too, okay? And he didn't have reason to think otherwise. And that's why a lot of the confusion. But if he thought that he was authorized and he did have this conversation with Scott where he offered him 135 before any conversation with Alex Andrade had taken place, then why didn't any of that come up in the emails back and forth with Alex thereafter where he was talking about how he'd been excluded from the negotiations and they were talking about numbers and all this? So the answer there is either A, the TikTok that I got from Scott Collins is wrong. I don't think it is, but that's possible. Or B, Mike deliberately hid that information from Alex, which would indicate that he knew he shouldn't have been doing it, but he was doing it anyway, just didn't want to tell Alex or anybody else. So again, that's the only part of this that to me is still a little bit open. And, you know, I'm willing to be persuaded either way, but if there's going to be an investigation or a discussion about, you know, exactly what went wrong, that's a part that I think probably still needs to be clarified. 5:30 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, you know how they're having this writer strike, you know, the big writer strike. There was an allegation that some folks in Los Angeles had the trees trimmed aggressively near the site where the protests were taking place so as to deprive the protesters of shade.
Oh, that's so crappy.
Well, That's the allegation.
Oh.
Was it just part of a scheduled maintenance or not? I mean, I'm just saying.
Oh, was it the Pensacola people? Maybe maybe that's what happened.
It's just one of these like Machiavellian things where you think, oh, that's dastardly.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. An internal FBI document about a bribery accusation against Joe Biden's released by Republican Senator Chuck Grassley. It involves a Ukrainian energy company that employed the president's son, Hunter.
The document also claims the Burisma executive, quote, didn't want to pay the Bidens and he was pushed to pay them. He has many text messages and recordings that show he was coerced to make payments.
Fox's Brooke Singman, a White House spokesman, says these are claims that have been debunked for years. Fox confirms hackers got into the emails of State Department officials, including China Ambassador Nicholas Burns.
The State Department says they detected anomalous activity and took immediate steps to secure their systems. That comes after a Microsoft report earlier this month that said Chinese hackers had gotten into email accounts of 25 organizations, including federal agencies.
Fox's Joan Lato, a U.S. official, says it's not clear whether any significant information was compromised. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It's 81 right now. Partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. Milton city leaders trying again to solicit developers to build out their riverfront downtown. Earlier this week, Economic Development Director Ed Spears sent out an RFP for interested parties to submit their plans. It's the third time the city has solicited proposals as they want to see a mix of residential, retail, and commercial developments along their riverfront. The city also wants a new marina to be included as a part of the proposal. The RFP calling for two apartment complexes with one, two, and three bedroom options as well. Live ammunition will be used in a reenactment of the deadly Parkland school shooting. The reenactment at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School would be part of a civil lawsuit against former school resource officer Scott Peterson, who claims he did not know where the more than 70 bullets were coming from during that shooting back in 2018. Parents of some of the victims believe using live rounds over blanks will prove that Peterson heard the bullets and failed to act. At a hearing on Thursday, a ballistics expert testified that live rounds do sound different than blanks. The judge also decided the reenactment will take place August 4th. City officials in Gulf Breeze are looking at making changes to stop rental companies from setting up shop at the boat ramp in Shoreline Park.
This park is located, you know, in the interior of our neighborhood. It's just not equipped to handle the type of volume that we're seeing right now.
City Manager Sam Abel says the companies are paying a day use fee, but it is the same fee that residents would pay just to put their personal boats in the water there. And she says the council decided the park needs to be for residents, and others from the surrounding area are welcome to use it, but she says the rental businesses have to go. They're looking at code changes and possible enforcement options as well. Discarded cigarettes in a trash can are being blamed for a house fire in Cantonment that left four people displaced early this morning. According to North Escambia, that happened shortly after 11 o'clock yesterday at a home on Pauline Street over near Old Chemstrand Road. Investigators say a cigarette had been discarded into a trash can that was located near the back of the home. Thankfully, though, there were no injuries. The Red Cross assisting the displaced residents. And the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office investigating a death on Wednesday, and they say it's being investigated as a homicide. Investigators say 70-year-old Stephen Jernigan was found dead at a home on Old Schnorr Road just off Chmukla Highway.
Band on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, happens every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, country music duo Wester takes the stage. Wester is comprised of Pensacola's own Pearl Clarkin and Rafe Wester, and they pack a fun, fresh, and explosive punch. It's Bands on the Beach with Wester this Tuesday night at 7. Remember, no pets or class allowed.
This morning at 10:30, join A-Hope on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They believe that every life is precious, that every wag of a tail, every purr, and every gentle nuzzle is a gift worth cherishing. Their dedicated team of volunteers works tirelessly to provide shelter, care, and love to animals in need. Learn how you can give back by becoming a volunteer or adopting or fostering a furry friend. Discover the resources you need to make your community a better place for pets. Today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 538 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Yesterday, had a chance to talk to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department, as we typically do on a Thursday. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Candy. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
And I said Candy first. I had to say Candy first this morning because I got in trouble after last week when I didn't.
Oh, it does not
he
bother me. She
deserves
it.
He ignores me when you're not here.
Oh, sorry. No, I'm
just kidding.
She absolutely deserves it.
We love you, Mike.
You guys reported that there was a shooting overnight in Creighton in the vicinity of Uptown O'Reilly's, yeah?
Yeah, that's the 3,000 block of Creighton Road. There was we got a report of shots fired about 1:50 this morning, and when officers arrived on the scene, they found a male. Who had been shot, and he died on the scene. So that is an active investigation, and as usual, we're looking for any information that people may have that were in the area at the time.
At one point, Creighton was closed. I assume it's back open now?
I believe it's back open. I know that they had it open until after daylight this morning, but I'm not exactly sure if it's still closed or not.
Okay, and so at this point, all we really have for public information is we have a deceased, we had a shooting, we know where it happened, and that's about all we know?
Yeah, that's about it. They're still trying to determine exactly where it happened, whether it was on a parking lot or the roadway. That's information that we're still looking for.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll look forward to other information, and obviously if anybody knows anything, please call. Call Crime Stoppers if you don't want to be identified. Call the police if you don't mind being identified, but either way, call if you have information. We also had a case while I was out on vacation last week. You had an arrest of, I guess, a couple of brothers were arrested with child pornography. Is that right?
No, it was a father and son.
Oh, father and son. Okay, thank you for correcting me. Okay.
So, yeah, it was determined that there were inappropriate photographs in their possession. And, you know, I got to tell you, when people download those images, they know what they're doing. And if sooner or later, the law enforcement's going to come knocking. It's a very dangerous thing to be doing. And, you know, for people to say that it was done, we didn't know, or there's all kinds of excuses out there. But if you're going to partake in that sort of thing, you can look for law enforcement knocking on your door sooner or later.
How, you know, I know you may not be able to answer this question, and certainly I don't want to compromise any investigative tactics or whatever, but how does something like that come to be known to you? Is that a tip? Is that a, you know, paying attention to these websites? Like, how do you come to know that something like that happened?
Well, you're right. I'm not going to get into how we figure it out.
Okay.
But it doesn't take long. It doesn't take long at all, and we're going to get it figured out. And because I mean, if you look, there's probably door knocks going on all over the country, several of them every day. It's not difficult. So, again, downloading and possessing that sort of thing is very dangerous.
Yeah, and I mean, immoral, illegal, all of the above, and we appreciate that. The new CRA officers, for people who aren't familiar, we've had two officers in the community redevelopment area in daytime beats, and they have been very popular. They've been, you know, the community loves having them in Pensacola, and now the positions that got expanded to having two in the nighttime, which makes all the sense in the world to me, and I think, you tell me if I'm wrong, we have one on the beat and one starting on Monday, so we'll have our full complement starting Monday, is that right?
Absolutely. So we'll have them covered during the day and night. You know, the guys in the day have done an excellent job, and there's different situations and at night. So now we've got that covered also. So the downtown, the CRA area is going to get a lot of attention from the police department. And the best thing about this is the officers concentrate on that area. They get to know the people that live there, that have businesses there, and they can listen to their concerns one-on-one and think outside the box to get those issues resolved.
Yeah, no, it's a good method of policing, and it seems to be working, which is why we wanted more of it, so that's great. I had a kind of a interesting conversation with a former cop, and he told me about something that was unfamiliar to me, and I always like to, you know, double-check and make sure these things are true. The general rule is that the police officer has to observe you committing the misdemeanor in order to arrest you for it. This is why trespassing, for example, is one of those things where, like, I saw him trespassing. Well, you know, I wasn't here, so, you know, too bad, right? But I was told there is a misdemeanor exception, and at least one of those exceptions is for shoplifting, that the law enforcement officer does not have to observe shoplifting in order to make an arrest. Is that true?
Yes, it is. We go based on the sworn affidavit or statement of the store security. That's all we have to have. And you're right, there are several instances of misdemeanors where it does not have to happen in front of the officer. DUI resulting in a crash is another one. So there are some out there that are exceptions to that rule.
Interesting. And he had also said, and again, this was kind of all new information, so I wanted to ask you about it, that if you're a shop owner or manager or whatever, you're an employee at the place that gets shoplifted from. I know most places have a stated policy of do not interfere with shoplifters, call law enforcement, let them go. But legally in Florida, he was telling me that if you want to put hands on and, citizens arrest him basically until law enforcement can come, that you are lawfully justified in detaining a shoplifter. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's true for someone that's employed by that store. That's absolutely true. But that's something that we don't recommend. That's something that, like you said, most of the stores don't recommend. In fact, a lot of them have it against their policy. And we've all seen in national news stories where people have lost their jobs trying to do the right thing. So it's something that most employees and store management want to stay away from.
Right. Interesting. Go. Candy wants to follow up.
I have a question. So if I go jack two sweaters from Target and they have me on camera, I can be arrested, right? Even though you didn't see
Absolutely.
It. Okay.
There you go. So don't
Not
do it.
Not that I'm fine.
And even
fine.
Even and what I think the law allows is that even if it's not on camera, but if the employee sees it.
So that's the sworn affidavit.
That's where the sworn affidavit comes in place, that even though it's a misdemeanor, the cop doesn't have to see it, right? Right, Mike?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. And I don't know where you're going to find sweaters this time of year in Florida, but good luck, Candy.
I'm just trying to clarify
my
notes.
No, what Candy's disclosing inadvertently is that she will pretty much steal anything. So that's.
I will, dude. One day I'm going to get caught out of Walmart, Jack and sodas. Not really. I appreciate it.
Hey,
you.
Last thing we always like to cover with you, Mike, is if there's a cop myth or a did you know, you got one for us this week?
Yeah, it's kind of based on what we were just talking about. The myth is that you can't be charged with a crime if nobody presses charges, and that's simply not true. And there's three that I can think of right off the bat, and one of them, if it happens in the presence of the officer, if an officer sees some criminal mischief going on at a property or maybe somebody pushing in a window to enter it, and he sees that and he makes an arrest, and then the property owner says, wait a minute, I know this guy, I don't want to press charges, that officer that made the arrest, it's still a good arrest. So, and also the state attorney can bring charges, can read over report and bring charges on their own. And then the third way, which happens often, are domestic violence situations where the officer arrives. The wife doesn't want the husband to go to jail. The husband doesn't want the wife to go to jail. But the officer has probable cause to believe that a crime was committed. He or she can make that determination on their own and effect that arrest.
Interesting. Yeah. And also, I mean, I know that the popular conception is I decline to press charges covers everything, and it just doesn't. But that's because crimes are not, and I hate to like wax philosophical on this, but crimes are committed against the community, not just against the victim. And so the reason we punish crimes as a community is because we recognize them as the violation of the peace, a breach of the peace, a breach of the social contract. And so I'm glad to know there are cases where the community can say, oh, hell no, even if the individual says, it's fine. So thank you for clarifying that. I always learn something from you. Mike Wood, PIO for the Pensacola Police Department, as always, sir, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Absolutely. 546 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're in the market for that next new vehicle, and I mean, really, that's the question is new or used, right? Are you going to buy a brand new, or are you going to buy one that's a year or two or three old that is like new, just isn't brand new to you? That's what Frontier specializes in. And here's what I recommend you do. Go there first. Look around. Sample 4, 5, 6 different. I mean, drive several. Don't just drive one. Drive several. And then I always recommend, drive one that's kind of outside of your category. You're looking at sedans. Also drive a minivan, or also drive a Jeep, or also drive a truck. Just in case you find out, man, oh, wow, okay, I didn't know that. Or maybe what you discover is, yep, don't want it. Okay, fine, but that's good. That's confirmation, right? And then if you want, once you get settled on a car, then if you prefer to, I mean, go look at the new version of it. That's fine. And compare them side by, it won't be side by side quite, but it'll be at the dealership versus Frontier. And then you decide price difference and how much is it worth you to have a brand new one versus having one that's here. Now, for me, I would never, I buy used cars because you don't take the depreciation hit, and then you can drive them for a decade and then buy another used car after a decade or more sometimes. But that's an adult way to do this process. And all I'm saying is it starts at Frontier. It's like the buffet of good quality used cars, a year, 2, 3 years old, low prices and great condition. Just start there. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
NAS Wedding Field is a major training facility for our United States military. It produces more than 1,200 pilots a year and is the home to the largest air wing in the U.S. Navy and produces 100% of all Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard helicopter pilots. But NAS Wedding Field has a lot more to offer and makes a huge impact to our local community. Tune in this Monday at 9 to hear what's happening at NAS Wedding Field on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Summertime is here, and with it comes the beautiful summer weather. Hey, it's Brent Lane with Fishbine Orthodontics. I'm excited to share some hot summer savings. Fishbine Orthodontics is offering a special summertime deal, a low down payment of just $149 for braces or Invisalign. Come see Fishbine at 8 convenient locations. Go to the website at fishortho.com to book your consultation. That's fishortho.com. to begin your journey to a beautiful smile today.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today. Learn at your own pace and check out the Medical Marijuana Education Series. You decide what you'd like to learn and when with Mary on Demand. Visit mary.famu.edu. That's mmeri.famu.edu. And remember, recreational marijuana is still illegal in Florida. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
The cost of healthcare is all in the news. Tune in Tuesday morning at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest and will be discussing how ProHealth medical membership programs can help you take out the stress and cost of healthcare. That's Tuesday morning at 10 as ProHealth will be the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola.
Absolutely awesome.
News Radio Pensacola is on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
This is a Marine amphibious unit, Major. My men are hard chargers. Lieutenant Ring and Gunny Highway took a handful of young fire pissers, exercised some personal initiative, and kicked ass!
It's funny, I'm in the habit right now of rewatching a lot of movies that I have watched multiple times in the past, but haven't watched in like 20 or 30 years kind of thing, and Heartbreak Ridge was one of them we watched recently. And it's always interesting to me how, and especially some of these movies, the recording that I'm watching is like from TV, and it's from like TBS that does light edits or
right,
some edits.
Right, they sure do, yeah.
You know, and... You know, sometimes I'm watching, I'm like, well, that's not what they said. And I think to myself, how many times did I watch this as a kid?
To know that that's what they
to
said.
To know exactly what the dialogue is and to know when they've edited it and edited it poorly. I'm trying to remember now, we were watching something recently where I completely gave up because it was so, there was so much profanity in the original movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so the edit was so intrusive because it was like every
right.
other word kind
sure.
of thing. And I'd probably think of what movie it was here in a minute, but it was just, I stopped watching. I'm like, I'd just rather watch the original if right. I can find it somewhere.
Well, Pulp Fiction is hilarious to watch on edit.
Oh, yeah, no.
It really is.
That's 18 minutes long. 5:51 on news. You ever see that meme on Facebook? Like, you know, tonight they'll be airing Blazing Saddles on network television from 8 o'clock to 8:07.
Yeah, right.
All the clean parts.
Any of that, I know, except for the parts.
5:51 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Thousands of Marines and two amphibious warships deploying to the Middle East to counter threats by Iran. The Pentagon announced the moves yesterday after Iran threatened commerce in and out of the Persian Gulf. This comes just a few days after the U.S. sent warships and fighters to the Middle East to deter Iranian forces from interfering with merchant shipping. An effort to restore abortion rights in Missouri now moving forward. A proposed ballot initiative there would put abortion rights in the state constitution. That's being held up by Missouri's Republican Attorney General. Yesterday, the Missouri Supreme Court confirmed a lower court's ruling that there was no justification for Bailey's refusal to perform his duties. And the two-time defending FIFA Women's World Cup champions are set to begin their title defense tonight. Team USA taking on Vietnam in the World Cup group stage opener at Eden Park in New Zealand. It'll be the first time that the U.S. women's national team has gone head-to-head against tournament newcomers Vietnam.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. You know, I know a lot of what I tell you about that happens in these various governmental meetings, the city councils or the county commission, is the entertaining slash ugly stuff, right? The controversy and the drama. There's also good stuff. And I sometimes like to focus on that, too, because that's an important part of it. And it was interesting because they remember the fire that happened at the Santa Rosa Medical Center? Medical facilities?
Yeah, right.
Well, Tom Lloyd, who's a public safety director for the Santa Rosa County, talked a little bit about this. And some of the stuff that came out of this conversation I just thought was really interesting and positive.
I say roughly 30 patients because as we entered into kind of the climax of the situation, it became 31 patients as mom was up in L&D and gave birth in the middle of all that. So that was... That's a heck of a story on your birthday, I'm sure. But again, we just wanted to thank our partners and let you know that you know, we were able to transport 10 patients effectively to additional facilities and make sure that they were safely housed. And again, the biggest thing I wanted to highlight was the way that our neighbors answered the call swiftly and without hesitation, and they came alongside us to serve our community with the utmost commitment to excellence. And that's really about all I need to say.
Yeah, I mean, suddenly have a fire because, you know, one system breaks down, then a couple systems break down. You got a fire. You got to figure out, you know, evacuation plans for a part of a facility. How much is going to happen? What are you dealing with? All of that. And the response from across the, you know, the border to Escambia County was huge.
Escambia County's public safety director actually came over. And in our conversation, he said, "I'm here because I know when it's my turn, you're going to be next to me."
So Roger that.
That's the relationship.
I can even say that in Eric Gilmore's voice. That it sounds exactly like something that Eric Gilmore would say for sure. And then and he'd probably be laughing. Colton Wright, the chairman and District 4 or District 5 representative.
And when this occurred, I had a retired sheriff's deputy send me a text. Apparently, he's still got a radio. So he was listening in his garage, listening to some.
We'll find that one.
He said, "Hey, do you know about the structure fire?" And about that same time, Brad sends me a note. I stepped out, saw Commissioner Bender in the hallway, mentioned something to him. Without hesitation, he put his phone on speaker, called Eric Gilmore, their public safety director, and said, "Hey, I've got Commissioner right here. What's going on?" He gave us a briefing as well. It mirrored exactly what Brad had given me. And he said that, you know, they would render aid in any way they could and be good partners.
And, like, that's an across-the-board cooperation response. They were all at the, I think, Florida Association of County Commissioners meeting, okay? So they were all kind of together but away when this happened.
Saw two other commissioners down there from Escambia County, both Commissioner Kohler and Commissioner May. They both echoed that as well. And I actually had folks that were there from FPL that reached out immediately and came up to me and said, "Hey, anything you guys need, we've already got some people on the way." So I just think it's an opportunity to give an attaboy to anyone that steps up to help their neighbor.
Absolutely.
I think when we live in a region like this where we know we face, you know, hurricanes, you know, afternoon thunder showers, wildfires, the kind of things that we've dealt with, it's nice to know that in times of crisis, while we may have our times where we spar a little bit and go back and forth, we all band together to do the right thing and help each other out. And kudos to everyone involved in that. I appreciate
Thank you, sir.
And your team as well.
No, and the reason I wanted to share that is because I know a lot of times we talk about the dysfunction or the uncooperation or the inability to get things done or the drama. And I love good news. That's why you'll hear me share the good news whenever I can. That's why I always find it kind of hilarious because there's one county commissioner in Escambia County, Jeff Bergosh, who loves to moan and whine about how nobody ever covers the good stuff. I mean, every time he opens his mouth, he seems to say it, you know, and I understand that perception, but I'm just telling you, I think Channel 3 and the PNJ cover the good news, and I certainly know we do. So I like that. We generally like that because we like being able to make the county look good when they look good or the city look good when they look good. And they do often look good. And it's important to remember that most of the stuff, you know, even when you hear some of the drama that's going on, sort of the underneath the surface, behind the scenes, the bulk of the iceberg often runs extremely well. And that's an important note to have. So that level of cooperation between these folks and willingness to help and pitch in and do what's necessary, it's kind of that, you know, not to be too Jason Aldean about it, but, you know, we take care of our own and we help out. And that's one of the great things about living in this era. That is not true everywhere in the country. You know, some places in the country you go and if you leave your window down, you go into the store and there's a rainstorm, you're going to come out with a car full of water. Some places in the country, you go into the store, you left your windows down, and you know there's a rainstorm, and you come out, and somebody will have opened your door and rolled up the windows for you. I think we live in that kind of a place, and I appreciate that about here. 5:57 here on News Radio 92.3. Well, what if it's electric? Shut up. You're missing the point of the story. You're missing the point of the story. Take the right lesson. 437-1620. Gavin Newsom, just to kind of give you a picture of how things are in other parts of the country, Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, is now fining one of the school districts in California because they did not want to adopt a new version of a textbook for the elementary, I think. It was hard for me to figure out whether this is elementary, but it seems like it's the elementary age. Don't fixate on that, but here you go. Because the new history book that they're using in the elementary school includes the gay rights activist Harvey Milk, who was, of course, killed, right? And, you know, was a city councilman. He was assassinated, if I remember all my facts about this. He's fining them $1.5 million because now they didn't ban the book or reject it. They just declined to upgrade to the newest version is kind of the history here. And he told them they should. Here's an interesting thing. If you believe in states' rights, then you believe that different states can set different educational standards. And you would believe that states can decide we want our kids to learn this and we want our kids to not learn that. And frankly, when it comes to somebody like that, especially in California, you know, where he was from, I think it makes sense to educate about him. Now, you could quibble about how much detail you want to go into the, you know, sexual orientation stuff and what grade level to do it at. But just as a bare fact of the history and how awful it was that he got assassinated, that's fine to include. So I would actually defend them wanting
local
to make that decision.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.